ABC Radio Australia.
In the 1960s and 70s, France carried out nearly 200 nuclear tests in French Polynesia, showering nearby islands and their inhabitants with toxic radiation. Some people have received compensation for illnesses linked to the testing, but a new report claims the extent of toxic exposure is far worse than the French government has acknowledged. Researchers from Princeton University, the investigative journalism group Disclose, and environmental collective Interpret conducted a two-year investigation into the issue. The bombshell report released this week could have serious implications for the French government and thousands of people potentially affected by radiation. And to discuss this, I'm joined now by the Interpret's principal investigator, Nabil Ahmed. Good morning, Nabil.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Thanks for joining me on Pacific Beat. It's been a couple of decades now since nuclear testing took place. How did your team go about investigating this issue?
So the investigation posed a number of challenges. First of all, it's very hard to find accurate information on what exactly happened. This is why the 2,000 pages of declassified documents that we worked with were crucial to put the puzzle together. A second challenge was the sheer distance and remoteness of some of the places where these tests took place. And for that, we used cutting-edge spatial analysis, 3D modeling and mapping technologies to conduct the investigation. And thirdly, we were also on the ground. And this work was done mainly by our colleagues at Disclose, who were actively going to French Polynesia and talking to victims and talking to many, many people to find out exactly what had happened. And of course, as you mentioned, something already that these things happened a really long time ago. So this is not the case where open source information or videos or the kinds of tools and techniques of new ways of doing investigative journalism and investigations are just simply not there. So we had to basically invent a methodology in which nuclear science, which was led by Sébastien Philippe from Princeton University, Disclose, who did the journalism work, and ourselves, bringing all these narratives together and doing really new ways of presenting this information on our platform.
You mentioned there that you were on the ground and you were able to go over to the islands, or the people who were a part of this investigation were able to go to islands that were worst affected by nuclear testing. What exactly did you find there?
So our colleagues from Disclose were in, of course, first in Papeete, but they also traveled to other places in French Polynesia. And what we found was that let me give you a good example. There was one document in the trove of documents that we found that actually listed a specific place in Turea where a number of children's names were included who lived in different in a village in Turea and who are drinking from specific water cisterns. And we were really shocked when we found this list, because it was clear that the French military specialists who were there clearly knew what was going on. And so what one of the things that we were able to do was to track down some of the family members that were still alive, and they were children at that time. So we were able to speak to them and conduct the investigation in this way, which is presented in our platform. This happened in the Gambia Islands, and this was within the the so-called danger zone that that the French state set up for specific nuclear tests. But our investigation showed that, in fact, based on a number of weather conditions and the kind of modeling that we did with the movement of the radioactive particles from some of the tests, we were able to show that, in fact, these places were irradiated in a much more intensive way.
You mentioned there that danger zone that the French government had sort of implemented as the area of assessment for who had been exposed to this radiation, and that your investigation uncovered, you know, due to weather, as you just mentioned, that sort of was expanded. Yeah. How significant is it that you were able to uncover these problems with the extent of the radiation exposure?
So a number of things had to happen for what you are saying for this to come together, right? So the example where this concept of the danger zone isn't only necessarily spatial. It isn't only something that's sort of marked on a map. It's also about time, right? So where this work really came together is when we examined the atmospheric test that France conducted in 1974, and in this test the official account basically established that the fallout would not really hit Tahiti, where everybody lives. And what we were able to do was, again, using this combination of the techniques that I already mentioned, we were able to show that, in fact, the fallout did reach Tahiti. And this is where the report's, one of its strongest points comes out, is that rather than considering only that about 10,000 people maybe would have been exposed to the radiation, we basically claim that 90% of the population of French Polynesia at the time would have been hit by this radiation from the Centauri test, which is not in the official account. And in fact, this shows. But I do want to clarify one point, which is that compared to what happened in the Marshall Islands, right, where some of the radiation levels were off the charts. You know, it was really just the worst kind of radiation possible. In the case of the Centauri test, for instance, you know, by the time the fallout reached Tahiti, about 20 hours later after the explosion of Centauri, the radiation levels were not that devastating. However, it's a huge part of the challenge, right, is establishing the compensation regime. So according to the French compensation regime, 1 millisievert is sort of like a threshold, right? So and the compensation regime is really flawed and has basically meant that many, many people are not allowed to or able to get any compensation through this so-called marine law. But what we showed is that because the Centauri test, hit so many people, about 100,000 people would be eligible even under the current compensation regimes.
And so what sort of implications does this research have then for those 10,000 people?
So I think a number of things needs to happen. This is a moment where more transparency is required. There are many more documents that are still classified. Those should be opened up. People that have already lost their chance to get compensation because of all these hoops that they had to go through, these should be all considered again. So basically, the whole thing needs to be shaken up in that sense, in terms of the existing compensation regimes, right? So what we're saying is that the compensation regime is not necessarily flawed in the sense that it's completely out of any practical use. But even within the compensation regime that exists today, these people should be allowed to have their cases heard again. But we need more transparency, first of all, and we believe an inquiry is required into this matter that involves many stakeholders, and of course, first of all, the French Polynesians.
Well, it'll be definitely very interesting to watch any fallout that comes from this, especially with any response from the French government to this report. Nabil Ahmed, thank you so much for joining me on Pacific Beat this morning.
Great. Thank you.
That was Interpret's principal investigator, Nabil Ahmed, speaking with me there.